trials and tribulations will come to every man. And when they come, when you handle it properly, then the Lord is going to give you great deliverance. If you don't handle it properly, but if you still walk with the Lord uprightly, even if you perish in that trial and tribulation, you are going to be like, what is his name? Lazarus. That was at the bosom of Abraham and being comforted. So those things happen in the world. You just have to know that. But the purpose of it is, what are these trials expected to do for mankind? What is the purpose of it? And we're going to go to that in a moment. I'm going to get to some Bible verses. What trials are expected to do for us, including the trials that God sent to the saints. Because God sent some, which we call persecution. That is when people are really persecuted for your faith. When you stand tall for Jesus, and you are preaching the gospel, and they come against you, it's another form of trial. Whether through governmental, you know, politics, or people just don't like what you are saying, they fire you. It can happen. Preach to somebody and they say, we found that you gave this tract to somebody, and we have a policy that this shouldn't be allowed. So pack your load and leave. That will be like trial also. And you'll be saying, well, I stood for Jesus and I was fired. And still firing. You may look for a job for the next 3 months and not find another job. So those are all trials also. But sometimes God sent that to the saints. It happened in the first church. But all of those things are also trials and tribulations. We're just wrapping everything together as trials and tribulations. They may come because of situations. They may come because of environment. They may come because of the world is full of troubles. But what is the purpose? How should we undo all these things? So that in the end, we will be one of them, that the Lord will be wiping away tears from their eyes. That is our goal. You want to put that in your mind. Now let's look at this. I said Daniel in his own book, everything was going great for Daniel. He just got promoted to be one of the presidents, reporting Daniel to the king. What can be a greater great joy? And that's the days of prosperity. And he was in charge of everything. The other president didn't like that. They didn't like him. So we know suddenly it looked like there's no way they could get Daniel into trouble. It looked like trouble won't come from anywhere. He's always faithful to the king. So what can be trouble? It's not that he has power for sicknesses. It's not sickness. So where will trouble come? But you see, the devil sees otherwise. The devil can always bring trouble when God allows him, of course. Or God can always test somebody through anything. Everything can be fine and dandy. Look like there will be no trouble anywhere. And when God wants to test, he can also bring it from nowhere. So suddenly trouble came to Daniel. Somebody that was close to the king, suddenly he was arrested. You can go and read the whole story in chapter 6. I'm just giving you the key that it was trouble. Whether you like it or not, call it why we trial, we say trouble came. And this trouble came, suddenly he was arrested. Just think of the president, or close to the president, everything was doing fine, he was not in a secret sin that they will find. They couldn't find any secret sin. You can read the senators in this country, and suddenly they say somebody was doing something wrong in the men's toilet. It's in the news recently. And now he's in trouble. So you can say, well, he must have had some secret sin. But Daniel had no secret sin, nothing. Everything was fine. The man of God. The king liked him. The king wanted him to be in charge of everything. So there will be no way any trouble can come. You see, no way any trouble can come. Suddenly, trouble came. What kind of trouble? He got arrested by the same king. What did he do wrong? They found a way to create a certain law that said you can't pray. And he couldn't stop praying, so they arrested him. And what was going to happen? He was going to be thrown in the lion's den. That was what I'm talking about. Troubles can come from nowhere. God allows these things, highs and lows, so that we can be on our toes, even if we are sins. Be on your toes. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't think you are impregnable, or what you call is invincible. God is the invincible. Amen. And we have to have that kind of mind, and you have to tremble before him, to be humble before God, to fear before him. The Bible says something, say, fear the Lord, ye his saints. You that is a saint, you that is following the Lord, fear the Lord. Because when everything is going great, just that's when you should be prayer, humble. Why? Because God says he dwelleth with those that are lowly, contrite in spirit. Amen? So he allowed these troubles and trials because he has ordained it to be so. But let me bring it another way. Here is what Job was saying. In Job chapter 19 or chapter 10. You all know that this, the book of Job was written long time before, we don't know, maybe before all these Israelites. And Job was talking to God in his rendering when he was going through these trial times. In chapter 10, verse 4, he was challenging God that, hey, he knew God was doing this to him. He knew that this thing has to be from God, because he looked around in life and said, he has done nothing wrong. And his friend was saying, no, Job, you must have done something wrong. These bad things, just like many of us, we have our theology different. We said, bad things don't happen to good people. This that is suddenly happened to you, you must have done something, some secret sin. Like we said, Daniel had no secret sin, they still brought trouble. No, so if you know, if you balance the word of God, you see that this thing can come from nowhere. But the way you walk with God will determine what you will be saying at the end of it all. Praise the Lord. So here is what Job was saying when he looked around his life and saw that he has done nothing wrong, but this trouble came, and now he was challenging God. He said in verse 4, telling God that, do you have eyes like of flesh? Or do you see as man sees? Are your days as the days of man? Or thy years as man's days? In fact, he was saying, God, I'm a human being. You are not like us. Why are you judging me like this? Read some other Bible verse. He said, look, it's almost like God was nickpicking him. That, Job, you found something wrong. He said, that was how he was accusing God. He said, leave me alone. And God said, okay, so I have no eye like man. He said, you are not like flesh like us. You don't know what we go through. That's what he was saying. Just must say, oh, his brother, you don't know what you are going through. We are homeless. We are this. You have not have any problem. I have a child that is this. Somebody said, oh, look at how I've been struggling with sickness in his family. Oh, my family has been this. Well, like I said, when you say yours is trouble, when you hear somebody else, you say, thank God. So Job was challenging God, and God said, okay, I will prove to you. That's why God came as a human being. He said, well, you have no eyes like of flesh like us. Why are you judging me like this? You are not a few years, so the Lord came to prove Job wrong, and he came as a human being and walked on this planet like us in the body of Jesus Christ. And then he went through the same trials like you and me. Some of those were not recorded here, but they summarized some in the temptations. But he went through the Bible said, but without sin. Amen? So that is what we are trying to make it to see. If the Lord did it and came as human beings, because Job has challenged him, you are not like us. Why are you putting us through all these trials and travails? You have no flesh. You have no eyes of flesh. And God said, okay, I will come as a human being. I will live among you guys. And I will walk as a young man through all these trials and temptations. And he had a lot of it too. Let me give you something that you may not know, that you perhaps didn't realize it. If you look back at the Bible, do you know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was practically was living as, what do you say? Maybe somebody say, you know, I have to take care of my mom, or from my youth, I've been the one responsible. Jesus was perhaps working as a carpenter, taking care of Mary. Because if you look at that Bible closely, look like Joseph, the father, has passed away a long time ago. When the Lord Jesus Christ moved to Capernaum, what do you think Mary moved to Capernaum with him? He was the head of the house. Just think of a carpenter and taking care of a mother, perhaps, you know, the bread and two, which means the Lord Jesus Christ has become so responsible as far as financial is concerned before he started his ministry. So when you say yours is trouble, he went through to the same thing that you and I could have gone through. Because you can read the story of some people, they will tell you that, oh, since I was 18 years old, I have to work two jobs because my mama is sick and my this is that. I am the only most responsible in the house. I have to take all the responsibility of everybody. So if you read between the lines, you can see the Lord Jesus Christ was doing something like that. When his mom was coming to live with him when he was starting his ministry. So that is what I'm trying to make you to see. He lived this world, but the Bible said he was tempted on all sides, yet without sin. So then he could tell you in John chapter 16 that I have overcome the world, be of good cheer. He said, in this world you will have tribulations. John chapter 16, let's read verse 33. Verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, as long as we are here, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen? So the Lord is telling you and me, be of good cheer, he has overcome the world. So those things that whatever you are going through, whatever I might go through, the Lord has overcome the world. So you can put your life in his hand. Amen? And think of another example. Jacob, in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. You think these men didn't go through trial times? They went through trial times. And that's all I'm trying to point out to you, that these trial times, they come, where they come to every human being. We may look at the stories of these people and see how God gave them victories at the end. Here is the story of Jacob. Genesis chapter 37 was where his son, his beloved son, was reported as dead. We know the story, so it doesn't make too much impact. Maybe you never really consider what Jacob went through. And that is what I'm trying to make you to see. Those are trials of life. He went through years of thinking this man was there, and nobody told him he was not dead. The man that he loved, his young son that he loved, Joseph that he loved so much, and he got him a coat of something, the best coat in town. And suddenly they came, his brothers wanted to kill this boy, and they sold him into slavery and came back and told Joseph that, or Jacob, that his son Joseph must have been torn into pieces by a wild animal. There's no way to disprove it. And even God did not tell him in a dream or in a vision to give him any comfort. So for years he mourned. So maybe somebody, you have lost a loved one that you cry and cry and cry and cry. The only hope is that maybe you will see him in heaven again. But this man went through the same thing. Just imagine that. So those are trial times in life. Whatever you have lost, whatever you have gone through, that's an example of somebody. You may say at the end, you saw this man later, 30, how many years? 30 years or 20, 70 years later, find out he was not dead. But what about all those 20-something years? What do you think he was going through? Trials. Sorrow, sadness, thinking that he lost the best man, the best son he has, he lost him to death. So whatever you could have gone through, you can say, hey, gee, I was talking to somebody recently, he said he lost somebody, one of my buddies in the gym. He was telling me that he has two sons or two children, and he lost one when he was 5 months old. And he thought that Only he could just imagine what that boy could become. He was thinking of, what would that young boy or that young kid that he lost at 5 months old would have become? This man is now in his 70s. And I said, well, that's true. Everybody would like to think of that. This fellow that just died in his prime, what could this boy have become? So think of Jacob, that as a son that God was telling this son, vision, that this boy is going to become somebody, and now he's dead. So for 20-something years, you will imagine, what could this boy has become? Sorrow, sadness. That's what we are saying, trials of life. They come to everybody. They come to everyone. God allowed it for a purpose. Well, we know the rest of the story of that man, but we're just giving you examples that these trials are ordained by God, that it happens. It could be in form of sickness. It could be in form of this. But when they occur, it's to teach us something. It's to make us to be stronger. Let's go first to see what are these things expected to be. Like I just summarized trials for you, for different people. Just maybe financial. The other person may be a physical affliction, sickness. And some other people may be family troubles, or somebody has lost loved ones, or somebody died in the family. And they are all trials. They are all tribulations. They are all heart troubles, pain, sadness. But they are not. You are not expected to live in it forever. But some people live in it 20 years, like Jacob. Some live in it just some short time. But in all these things, God is trying to make you to see that your way of earning it, the way you walk with God uprightly, will determine whether you are going to be one of them that is going to be wiping away tears from your eyes. Because he has left the world the way it is. Human beings, we put ourselves in this trouble from Adam. So God said, okay, seed time and harvest, we continue to grow until the end. So that is what we are all growing through in human beings. But we, as believers, this is what God wants us to learn from this. Like he said, all things we work together for good to them that love the Lord. Amen? That is the first thing you wanted us to learn from this. Let's look at Judges chapter 3. In the book of Judges, chapter 3. Even to the Israelites in the Old Testament, God said he left some of those things so that he can teach them something. So we then from there we can deduce that God allowed these trials to come off and on so that we can become stronger. Here is what he told the Israelites in Judges chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them. Even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. So in short, God was saying he will allow some trials to come off and on. He came to Israel as a nation. He said to teach them war. So there's a reason for why God allows some things in life. So the same thing, these trials that come occasionally to mankind, even among the best of us, God allows those trials to come to teach us something, sometimes to make us stronger. For Israel in those days, he said, I'm going to leave these tribes, that he didn't drive those tribes out of the land for them. He said, to teach them war. Because occasionally we'll come against them, and these people have to learn how to fight back, to fight them, how to stand their guard, said, to teach them war. Here's another example. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 that we have read before, he said, so that man shall find nothing after him. It's another reason why God allows those things to be in the world. So that we can find nothing after him but to keep us on the straight and narrow road. If you see that way. Amen? If you see that way that these things is to keep you on the straight and narrow road, then you'll be learning something from that. Because sometimes people don't see that way. When they are in their trouble, that's when they say, where is God? But see, he allowed these things sometimes to keep us on the straight and narrow road. Because when you see another example where the wife of Job said, the devil pulled his mouth, cursed God, and that's what the devil wanted to get out. In that story of Job, why are you still standing in your integrity? Curse God and die. That's what God, the devil wants to get out. But Job said, no, we are not going to receive good and not receive evil from God. In short, it kept Job in the straight and narrow road. He wanted to stand and make sure that he stands. Another story in the book of, another example is James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, tells us what the trials also is to do for us as believers now. James chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 2. There is Apostle James writing to us and said, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Now, temptations summarize everything, not just the tempted to sin. All these trials are also going to tempt you to want to sin. Somebody lost his loved one, he had a baby and the baby died. Well, you are tempted to say there is no God or to curse God or to say, is there any God answer prayers? So they are all trials of temptations. So verse 3 said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So that's another thing, these trials of life that God allows occasionally to come into mankind's life is to do for us, to make you to learn patience, to trust, to learn how to trust God and how to walk in the way of God. Another Bible verse, 1 Peter chapter 4. Apostle Peter also told us about this, that it should teach us something. We can learn something from it. And in the end, the Bible said, all things will work together for good to them that are the called. I'm going to go to that in a few minutes. Are you one of the called ones? If you are one of the called ones, means you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Almighty God, then everything that is in your life, God is watching it. Whether it comes by your mistake, God is watching it. Whether it comes by circumstances, God is watching over it. Whether God sent it himself, God is watching over it. So you have to remember that. That's all of those are if you are the called. And we that are believers, we are all called. Amen? If you are a child of God, you are a believer in Christ, you are called. So we are the called. And if you are one of them, then you can say, oh, everything will work together for your good. Amen? According to his purpose. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Say, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Say, Christ's sufferings. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. What I said, even if you die in that suffering, like Lazarus, God said he will wipe away all tears from the eyes of everyone that arrived at the end. Verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Like Daniel, they couldn't find something wrong. Not that suffering would not come. They couldn't find him as a murderer or as a thief or anything, but they still cajoled something out, and in the end, we know the rest of the story, but troubles may come anyway. But God is saying, when you are standing tall and upright before him, you'll be standing with him at the end, wiping away all tears from our eyes, because whatever you go through that brought those tears, when you arrive at his feet, it will not even be remembered. Those sorrows will not even be remembered. Amen. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Amen? Commit the keeping of your soul unto God. That is all we can say about that. Commit the keeping of your soul unto God. Now, like I was saying, all these trials come to every mankind, but how we handle it is very important. God allowed situations and also allowed room for manipulations. Amen? Like I said, these trials are ordained for every man to appear to anybody in the midst of joy, but God also allowed room for changes. He allowed you to pray so that we can change some things. Amen? Let's go to an example here. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 20, we know the story of Hezekiah the king. He was, like we said, the best of us, these trials will come. Hezekiah was one of the great kings in Israel, and he did great wonderful things. We know the story of how suddenly he became sick. We don't know what caused the sickness or the disease, but he was sick. The Bible says, unto death. To the point that God even sent the prophet and said, well, set your house in order, you're going to die, you're not going to live. But like I said, when these trials come, it is how you walk with God, how you stand with God, your uprightness before God, that is very, very important. Whether to wrestle with God or at the end to be able to be one of them that God will be wiping away tears from your eyes. So we know the story. This Hezekiah, he had this experience of disease and sickness, but he cried unto God and he presented his own uprightness before God, and God reversed this thing. So what I'm saying is God left rooms for modifications. He leave room for changes, so you can change some things. Even in this type of trial we are talking about, your prayer can change things. That is why we don't say these trials are automatic, well, just take it. No, we are not saying, oh, just take it because It's ordained for you. No, he said you can change it also by prayer. Amen. You can change it by prayer. You can change it by your uprightness. That is why there are so many promises in the Bible that give good promises to the righteous. So if you are righteous and this trial comes, then you have something to present before God, like Ezekiel. Amen? Praise the Lord. So in short, build your life on that solid foundation of walking uprightness before God, like we see the story of Daniel. And when you have done all of those, even when the trial comes from the enemy, the devil just attack, or God trying, testing you, or whatever kind of trial comes your way, you will be like the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Because we're going to round it up with the words of the Lord Jesus himself. He gave us a strong admonition in chapter 7 at the end of this Sermon on the Mountain. The Lord said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. What are the sayings? Walk uprightly before him. That's all the summary of the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are walking uprightly before God, he didn't say there will be no trials. What he's saying is, I will liken you unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock.
Now praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adewumi inviting you to accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you are a Christian that has been listening to this radio broadcast, I challenge you and I urge you to aspire to the goal of overcomers. Be zealous for more of God. Ask the Lord to increase your faith, to build you up spiritually, and pray for the gifts of the Holy Ghost to increase and intensify in you, so that you can come to the stature, to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That is our goal as believers. Now, if you that is listening to me, you are not a Christian, or you are just a church member, you are a church goer trying to do good, but you are not really born again. You don't even know what it means to be born again. You are not sure whether you have been washed from your sins. I invite you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. And I want to pray for you right now, so that you can be assured of your salvation, and so that your heart and your faith and your spirit can begin to believe the Word of God. The Word of God specifically says, anyone that believes in me, anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. You have got to believe that utterance of Jesus, and then invite Jesus to come out, take over your life. Because he gives a power into the believers that he calls being born again. And it is this power that rejuvenates us from within that makes us to be a new creature in Christ. The Bible said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12.
This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi. Give your life today to the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you touch all the people that are listening, help them to understand and to follow thee and read their Bible in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Write to me and we shall send you some exhortation. Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org. Send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.